You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
What did life do to the ex who thought you'd be waiting forever? Story 1. My ex broke up with me right after I got laid off, saying, "You'll never be anything more than average." I was devastated. She moved on quickly, posting photos with her new guy, an entrepreneur with a Porsche, according to her. I stayed silent, focused on rebuilding. I picked up freelance gigs, worked double shifts, started a tiny app with a friend. It took off. 2 years later, we sold it. I wasn't average anymore. I was tired but thriving. Out of nowhere, she messaged, "I still think about you. Wish things were different." I didn't reply. But I did check her profile. Her Porsche guy had ghosted her. She was working at the same cafe she once mocked me for applying to. And the cherry on top? Her public post, "Don't take good people for granted. Regret is louder than pride." Story 2. She dumped me 2 weeks before my med school interview. Said I wasn't decisive enough, that I'd never be a doctor, and that she didn't have time to wait around. Her exact words, "You'll never find someone who believes in your dream more than me." What a joke. Fast forward 4 years, I was in residency. During a routine shift, I saw her come in with a twisted ankle. She didn't recognize me at first. When I introduced myself, she went pale. After the exam, she tried making small talk. I just smiled and said, "I made it. Thanks for not waiting." Story 3. We were high school sweethearts. I thought she was the one until college hit. She cheated on me with a senior, then told me, "You'll never find someone who gets you like I do." That stuck in my head for years, haunting every relationship. But time did its thing. I healed. Eventually, I met my wife, an artist who loves every weird part of me. We recently had our first child. One day, out of nowhere, my ex messaged me on Facebook, said she still remembers my laugh, said she's been trying to find herself for the past decade. I replied with a picture of my daughter holding a sign that said, "Daddy's the best." She blocked me after that. Story 4. My ex left me when my father died. I was grieving, closed off, and not the most emotionally available person. Her last message was, "I can't wait for you to get your act together, but I won't wait forever." I didn't ask her to. I buried my dad, moved cities, started therapy, and rebuilt myself. Years later, she saw a photo of me speaking at a mental health conference. She DM'd, "Proud of you. I wish I'd been more patient." I wrote back, "Patience wouldn't have helped. Kindness would have." Never heard from her again. Story 5. He thought I'd always be waiting. And for a while, I ignored the red flags, the lies, the silence, the narcissism. I stayed while he figured things out, clinging to the good memories. He once laughed in my face and said, "You won't leave. No one will love you like I did." I left. Slowly. Quietly. I built a life he wasn't in. Last year, I got engaged to someone gentle and decent and real. 2 weeks after my engagement went public, my ex showed up drunk at my work's parking lot, crying. Told me he missed me. That he messed up. I walked away. Left him standing in the rain. That was the moment I realized I never needed him to love me right. I just needed to love myself enough to stop waiting. Story 6. He was my college boyfriend. Charming, magnetic, and completely full of himself. He cheated once, said it was a mistake. The second time, he said it was just physical. The third time, I left. He didn't stop me. Just smirked and said, "You'll be back. You'll never find someone who excites you like I do." I didn't go back. Instead, I did the hardest thing. I stayed single. I went to therapy. I traveled. I started painting again. I cried on rooftops and danced alone in my living room. Eventually, I met someone who was the opposite of him. Soft-spoken, thoughtful, and safe. We built something real. 3 years later, I got a message from the ex. "Still thinking of you. I miss the way you looked at me." I clicked on his profile. He was alone, bitter, unemployed, ranting about how women don't know what they want. He was right about one thing. I never did find someone like him. I found better. Story 7. She ended things by saying I was too predictable, that I lacked ambition, that she needed fire and chaos and drama. She left me for her yoga instructor, moved to LA, and started posting vague captions like, don't chase, attract. I was heartbroken but took it as a wake-up call. I threw myself into work, joined a tech startup, and eventually became head of product. I met my now fiancé at a conference. Life got better and fuller. One day, I got tagged in an old photo. She saw it and messaged me. Wow, you're doing amazing. I'm still figuring stuff out, but maybe we could grab coffee. I hesitated. Then I clicked her story. It was a blurry photo of a sad salad with the caption, some days you just need to start over. I didn't reply. Not out of cruelty, but because I realized how peaceful my life had become without her chaos. And I wasn't about to trade that piece for nostalgia. Story 8. She loved control. She chose what I wore, who I could see, what music we played in the car. When I'd push back, she'd call me soft. The final straw came when I got accepted into an architecture program abroad. She said, I'm not waiting around for you. Go chase your little dream. And she was gone. That dream turned into a career. I designed schools, libraries, safe spaces. I fell in love with a fellow architect who knew what it meant to build something brick by brick. Not just buildings, but love too. Years passed. One day, I visited my hometown for a project. She was still there, working retail, living with her mom. She came to my lecture and waited after. She looked smaller than I remembered. She asked if I ever missed her. I said, I missed who I thought you were, but I don't miss who you really were to me. Story 9. We dated through most of high school. I adored her. I bought her books she mentioned once, walked her home in the snow, wrote her poems I never had the courage to read out loud. The day after graduation, she left a note in my locker. You're sweet, but too boring. I need someone electric. That crushed me, but it pushed me too. I went to college across the country, joined a band, backpacked through Europe, even published a collection of poetry. My name slowly started showing up in small lit magazines. And somehow, she found me again, through an Instagram post that got featured. She commented, so proud of you. I always knew you had it in you. I didn't reply. That night, I wrote a new poem titled, You Never Knew Me At All. Story 10. He dumped me after I had a miscarriage. Told me he couldn't handle the emotional weight. Said I was too much, that I'd never be able to move forward. He ghosted me 2 weeks later and started dating someone from his office. I was devastated, ashamed, and convinced I was broken. But grief is a strange teacher. It broke me open and in time helped me rebuild. I joined a support group. I met a woman who had been through the same loss. We became friends, then something more. That love, soft, healing, intentional, changed everything. Years later, I got an email from him. He'd been left by the office girl, was struggling with depression, said he missed how calm and supportive I made things feel. I didn't write back. Instead, I forwarded the email to my partner and we laughed, cried, and then went back to decorating the nursery for the baby we were adopting. Story 11. He broke up with me on our 5th anniversary, at a fancy restaurant, mid-dinner, like it was just another course. Said he wanted freedom, that I was too stable, and he was craving adventure. Then he leaned in, smiled, and added, but you'll be here when I'm done exploring, right? I wasn't. I spent the next year in survival mode. I cried. I screamed into pillows. I deleted every trace of him from my phone. Then, slowly, I started rebuilding. I moved to a new city, joined a hiking group, changed jobs, and met people who made me laugh without tearing me down. 3 years later, I saw him at a friend's wedding. He looked older, not in a graceful way, in a life hasn't been kind way. During the reception, he cornered me and asked if I ever missed us. I looked him dead in the eyes and said, no, I missed me. And I finally found her. He stood there, blinking. I walked away before the band could finish the next verse. Story 12. She loved to keep me on a string. Warm one day, cold the next. The games were endless. If I didn't text fast enough, she'd vanish. If I wanted to talk about us, she'd say I was needy. The final straw? She told me, you're lucky I even choose you. No one else would. That night, I packed my things. She laughed when I left. You'll come crawling back, she said. You always do. I didn't. I moved in with a cousin across the country, started working construction, then got certified in HVAC. Slowly but surely, I built a business, bought a truck, hired a small crew. I was proud of myself. And then came the DM. Hey, stranger. I saw your company online. You're doing great. Want to catch up sometime? I replied with a photo of my fiancé and our dog on our newly built porch. No room for ghosts here, I typed. Then I blocked her and slept better that night than I had in years. Story 13. We had just lost our newborn son. I was drowning in grief, barely functioning. She told me I was too emotional and that she needed someone stronger. She moved out the next week, left a note that read, "You'll survive. You always do." I didn't. Not right away. I shattered. But I got help. I went to group therapy, then started leading a group myself. I turned my pain into purpose. Years later, I wrote a book about grief and fatherhood. It got published. Out of nowhere, she messaged, "Your book. It moved me. I didn't realize how much I hurt you. I'm sorry." I responded, "Thank you for reading. I hope you find healing too." That was it. I didn't want revenge. I had something better. Peace, and a legacy that came from love, not bitterness. Story 14. She laughed when I said I wanted to open a bakery.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Literally laughed. Said I wasn't business-minded, that baking was a hobby, not a future. Then she dumped me for her coworker who worked in finance. I started baking more out of spite than anything. Posted my goods online, took local orders, worked late nights after my day job. After a year, I opened a tiny storefront. By year three, I had three locations and a catering contract with the mayor's office. Then came her email. "Remember me? I saw your cupcakes on a food blog. I always believed in your talent." I replied with two words. "Did you?" Story 15. He used to say I was too ambitious, that I made him feel small, that men didn't want women who talked like CEOs. I shrunk myself for him. Canceled interviews. Turned down a transfer. All to make him feel more comfortable. One day I looked in the mirror and didn't recognize myself. So I left. He said I'd regret it. No one will love a woman who puts her career first, he warned. Turns out, that was a lie. I got the transfer. I moved to London. Met someone who was proud of me. He'd cheer when I got promotions, not pout. We traveled, built a life. Years later, I saw my ex on LinkedIn, still in the same job, bitterly reposting men's rights threads. He sent a connection request. I let it sit. Never accepted. Never needed to. I was already living in the future he swore I'd never reach. Story 16. He proposed after 9 months of dating, but only because I had gotten a job offer in New York. He didn't want to lose control of me. At first, I thought it was love. But the engagement quickly turned into manipulation. He would belittle my accomplishments, mock my career goals, and joke that I'd never make it in a real city without him. One day, after a particularly cruel comment about me being ungrateful for everything he did, I slipped off the ring and left it on the kitchen counter. I moved into a friend's spare room and took the job in New York alone. I cried the entire drive up, but that was the last time I cried for him. 3 years later, I was managing a team, hosting panels,
mentoring interns. I was thriving. Then I got a package in the mail with no note, just the ring I had left behind. Later that week, he messaged me, "Still proud of you. Still wish you were mine." I didn't respond. I wore that ring on a chain for a while, not as a memory of him, but as a symbol of the day I finally chose myself. Story 17. She was always almost ready to commit, almost ready to introduce me to her family, almost ready to be honest, but never quite there. When I asked if she saw a future with me, she said, "Maybe, but don't wait on me. I like having options." So I stopped waiting. I joined a photography class to get out of the house. Ended up turning that hobby into freelance gigs, then full-time work, then exhibitions. I met my husband at one of them. He was the only one who stayed behind to ask about the story behind each photo. 5 years later, my ex showed up at one of my gallery events. She looked around, nodded slowly, then whispered, "I didn't think you'd actually become someone." I smiled and said, "Neither did I, until I stopped letting someone else decide when I was worthy." Story 18. He told me that I wouldn't survive without him, that I was too soft for the world and needed someone to lead me. I believed him for years. I followed his rules, laughed when he insulted me in front of friends, apologized when he lost his temper. Then one night, I was late coming home from my night shift. My phone had died. When I walked in, he accused me of cheating, grabbed my wrist, and yelled. I looked at him, really looked, and realized I didn't even recognize the man he used to be. I left that night, moved into a women's shelter, started over, slowly, carefully. I worked two jobs, saved every cent, got a place of my own. I enrolled in nursing school. I graduated at the top of my class. Last month, a mutual friend told me he'd been arrested for domestic abuse, again, and that he'd told people I ruined him. I didn't ruin him. He was already broken. I just stopped bleeding for someone who didn't deserve bandages. Story 19. We were long distance. I flew out every month to visit him. He came once. When I brought it up, he said, "You make things too heavy. It's not that deep." Then he ghosted me for a week and finally sent a text, "You'll never find someone as laid back as me." He was right. I didn't. I found someone better. Someone who shows up. Who makes effort look easy? Years passed. I forgot about him. Until one day I got tagged in a tweet. He had written a sad boy thread about how no one ever loves the chill guy. I didn't comment. But I did bookmark it. Not to gloat. Just to remind myself how far I'd come from mistaking bare minimum for peace. Story 20. She dumped me 2 days after my little sister died in a car accident. Said she couldn't handle the sadness, that I was too dark now. I don't remember much from that week except the funeral and the echo of her walking away. Grief either crushes you or hardens you into something unrecognizable. For me, it did both. I stopped drinking. I started writing. I wrote letters to my sister. Then I turned them into short stories. Then a memoir. It didn't sell much, but it reached people. I received emails from strangers who said my words helped them heal. Then I got one from her. "I read your book. I'm sorry I left. You were always stronger than me." I never replied. She had already left when I needed her most. But the irony wasn't lost on me. I became more than she could handle, and exactly what someone else now calls home. Story 21. We were engaged for 8 months. Everything seemed fine, until I discovered she had been texting her ex behind my back. When I confronted her, she didn't deny it. Just looked at me blankly and said, "You're safe, but he's exciting. I don't want to settle. You'll understand one day." I gave back the ring, canceled the venue, and tried not to hate her. The pain morphed into motivation. I dove into my work, started a marketing firm with a friend, and a year later, we landed our first six-figure contract. I worked hard, traveled, rebuilt my identity brick by brick. 2 years after she left, I bumped into her at the grocery store. She looked tired. Her ex had left her for someone younger. She asked about my life, tried to joke about how we dodged a bullet. I smiled and said, "Yeah, I dodged a few, including you." Then I walked away. I had no anger left, just clarity. I was never someone's backup plan. Story 22. He never liked when I wore makeup, or dressed up, or laughed too loudly. He'd say, "You don't need attention from anyone but me." And I believed that was love, until I realized I was becoming invisible in my own life. The day I left, he told me, "No one else will tolerate you." That sentence lived in my head for months. But slowly, I unlearned everything he made me believe about myself. I went to dance classes, traveled. I started posting silly little videos about healing. One of them went viral. People resonated. Fast forward 3 years, I now speak at women's events about emotional abuse. I built a community, a brand. And last month, I got a message from him. You look amazing. I always knew you'd find yourself eventually. I didn't block him. I let him see every success, every post, every win. Because nothing stings like watching the person you tried to erase become unforgettable. Story 23. She told me she didn't believe in marriage, then eloped with someone else 6 months later. I found out through Instagram. No warning. No explanation. Just a sudden shift from, it's not you, to, here's our beachfront wedding. It destroyed me. For a while. But I took a job offer in another country. Lived abroad for 2 years. Learned a new language. Fell in love with espresso, architecture, and eventually a quiet librarian named Marta, who laughed at my terrible jokes and loved me gently. When I returned home, I bumped into my ex at a bookstore. She looked surprised, said her marriage had ended, that she rushed into it, that she never stopped thinking about me. I smiled politely and said, I'm glad you found clarity. I found peace. Then I left with Marta, who had picked out a book she knew I'd love. Story 24. We started a YouTube channel together, couple vlogs, challenges, fake pranks, the whole act. I thought it was fun. He thought it was branding. He always wanted to push boundaries, fake breakups for views, stage drama. When I said I was uncomfortable, he replied, then go. You're replaceable. People follow me anyway. So I went. He laughed. Then made a breakup video that painted me as cold, selfish, boring. I didn't fight back. I just started my own channel, quietly. Focused on mental health, authenticity, self-worth. It took time, but people found me. I built a loyal following. Brands started reaching out. Meanwhile, his views tanked. He tried to pivot, rebrand, redate. Nothing stuck. He emailed me last month asking to collaborate. Said we had good chemistry. I replied, no. But thanks for reminding me why I left. Story 25. He never cheated, but he made me feel like I was always competing. With his female friends, with his work, with his past. Every time I brought up how I felt, he'd say, you're being dramatic. You should be grateful I even picked you. One night, after a long argument, he looked me dead in the eye and said, if you walk out, don't expect anyone better. So I walked out barefoot, in pajamas, clutching my phone and nothing else. The next year was hell, but I took it day by day. I started running. I joined a book club. I got a new job. I found people who didn't make me feel like I was too much. I found someone who held space for me, every messy, beautiful part. 2 years later, my ex sent me a message on LinkedIn congratulating me on a promotion. Added, I knew you were capable, just not with me. I didn't answer. Because he was right. I was always capable. I just needed to be free to prove it. Story 26. He said I was too emotional when I cried after my dog died. He rolled his eyes when I got excited over simple things like new books or fresh bread. He once told me, you feel everything too much. No one's going to put up with that forever. I stayed longer than I should have, trying to be less. But one day I watched a movie alone that wrecked me, and I sobbed uncontrollably without shame. That's when I realized how small I'd become trying to fit into his version of enough. I left the next week with nothing but my laptop and a bag of clothes. 2 years later, I was working in publishing, surrounded by people who thrived on passion. I met someone who cried when I read him my favorite poem. I posted about that moment, and somehow my ex saw it. He messaged me, we could have had that if you hadn't been so dramatic. I blocked him. Not because it hurt, but because I don't argue with people still stuck in the past I outgrew. Story 27. She and I dated during college. I supported her through 2 internships, helped her apply for grad school, even covered part of her rent when her job fell through. I didn't mind. I loved her. The night she got her acceptance letter to her dream program, I brought home champagne. She brought home a breakup, said she needed to rebrand herself and that I didn't match the image she was going for. Her exact words, I need someone who adds value to my life. I didn't drink the champagne. I packed my things. I worked harder, finished my own degree, started climbing the corporate ladder. 5 years later, I was invited to speak at an industry panel. Guess who was in the audience? Unemployed. Recently dropped from her program, trying to network. She approached me after, said I looked so successful, and asked if I'd be open to reconnecting. I smiled and said, you were right. I do add value now, just not to you. Story 28. He always said we'd build a life together, but every time I mentioned concrete steps, moving in, saving together, talking about kids, he'd change the subject. After 4 years, I gave him an ultimatum. He shrugged and said, you'll wait. You always do. I didn't. I packed up the apartment I'd mostly paid for and moved back in with my parents. I cried every night, but I also applied for a teaching program abroad. Within months, I was in Seoul, teaching kindergartners, falling in love with life again. 2 years later, I was featured in an international educator's magazine. He messaged me, "I always knew you'd do big things. Just wish I was still part of them." I replied with one sentence, "You had the chance, you chose silence." Story 29. She broke up with me via voice note, not even a phone call. Said she felt stuck, and that I didn't push her enough to grow. Then I found out she had been seeing someone else, a guy she'd once told me not to worry about. I spiraled, quit my job, moved in with my brother. I was embarrassed and bitter. But my brother forced me out of the house, signed me up for a coding boot camp. I resisted at first. Then I fell in love with the logic of it, the control, the structure. I ended up getting hired by a startup. Within 2 years, I was leading a team, earning more than I ever imagined. Meanwhile, I saw her on a friend's story, working at the same job, dating the same guy, nothing changed. She sent a "Hey Stranger" message last month. I didn't open it. I just deleted it. Because when someone shows you they're only interested in you when you're down, you don't give them front row seats when you rise. Story 30. He said my writing was cute, that I should focus on something practical, because I'd never make money from poems and essays. He'd laugh when I stayed up late editing drafts or working on submissions. Said I was chasing a childhood fantasy. I stayed quiet, submitted my work anyway, got rejection after rejection. But I kept writing, kept believing. Then, one day, I got published. Then again, then a short story prize, then a book deal. At the launch party, surrounded by friends and readers, I saw his name pop up on my phone. A text, "Proud of you. I always knew you'd make it." I stared at it for a while. Then I typed, "You never believed in me. But thanks for inspiring the villain in chapter 4, and hit send. Story 31. We were together for 6 years, and every time I brought up the idea of getting married, he'd deflect with, "Why fix what's not broken?" I accepted it, convinced myself the commitment was in the years, not a ring. But on my 30th birthday, he sat me down and said he was leaving, for someone younger, someone less intense. I remember staring at my half-eaten cake while he packed. He left with zero guilt, saying, "You'll be fine. You always land on your feet." That night, I applied for graduate school, not out of revenge, out of desperation to feel alive again. I got in. I moved. I met people who made me feel seen. I published research, started lecturing, and slowly found my footing. 3 years later, he sent me flowers at my office. The card said, "I miss us." I was wrong. I left them at reception, because I was too busy attending a keynote I was presenting on emotional intelligence and resilience. Story 32. She constantly compared me to her ex. Every fight ended with, "At least he did this," or, "He never would have said that." When I cooked, she'd criticize the spice. When I dressed up, she'd say I was trying too hard. Yet somehow I stayed, because I thought love was supposed to be work. The final straw came when I was in the hospital with pneumonia and she didn't visit once. Said she didn't want to catch it. When I recovered, I blocked her. In the silence that followed, I finally heard my own voice again. I focused on my fitness, learned to cook for joy, started a food blog. Within a year, it had thousands of followers. I started doing pop-up events, then catering. One day, I got a message. "Remember me? I miss your cooking. And you?" I didn't respond. I posted a photo of my sold-out event and captioned it, "Some things get better after being left to rise." Story 33. We were saving up for a house when he suddenly drained our joint account, left a note that said, "I need to live before I settle. I'll pay you back someday." He vanished. No calls. No apology. Just silence and overdraft fees. I had to move in with my cousin and take on a second job. I was humiliated, angry, and broke. But I paid off my debt slowly. Then I started teaching music lessons to kids on weekends. That took off. So much so that I opened a small music school. 5 years later, we were featured in a local documentary. Guess who emailed after watching it? Him. Said he was proud of me and missed our rhythm. I told him, "You were the silence. I became the song." Story 34. He used to flirt with other women in front of me and call it a joke. When I'd get upset, he'd say I was insecure, that I needed to chill. Once he even said, "No one wants a girlfriend who clings," so I stopped clinging. I let go. I didn't announce it. I just packed and left while he was at work. Blocked his number. Got my own place. Focused on myself. I learned pottery. Opened an Etsy store. Started therapy. Dated men who respected boundaries. 2 years later, he messaged me from a burner account. "I miss how you used to look at me." I didn't reply. I crafted a new mug, carved into the bottom. Not yours anymore. Sold out within the day. Story 35. She told me straight to my face, "You're convenient, but I don't see a future with you." Then she left. I watched her walk away, not because I wanted her to stay, but because I needed to see what selfish looked like for the last time. I buried myself in work. Started my own handyman business, taking on small jobs around town. Eventually, my reputation grew and I got bigger contracts. Hired a team. Got featured in a small business magazine. Life felt solid, earned. One day, I was fixing shelves in a new client's apartment. Turned around, it was her. She gasped, said, "Wow, you've changed." I smiled and replied, "So have my standards." Then I finished the job, handed her the invoice, and never looked back. Story 36. He dumped me the night I got my dream internship. Said, "I'm happy for you, but you'll change. You'll forget people like me. I'm sparing myself the disappointment." I stood there holding the email, stunned. He made my success feel like betrayal. At first, I thought about declining the offer, but something in me snapped. I accepted it, moved to a new city, and threw myself into the opportunity. I worked long hours, networked, learned everything I could. A year later, I had 3 job offers and a self-worth I didn't even know was possible. He messaged me around that time, just one line. "Do you ever miss us?" I replied, "I don't miss who I was when I was with you." And I meant it. Because some people walk away thinking they left you broken, not realizing they walked away from the version of you that was still learning how to fly. Story 37. She said I was too predictable and that she needed chaos to feel alive. That was her excuse after I caught her sneaking out of our apartment at midnight to go clear her head. In full makeup, I didn't confront her that night. I let her walk. I spent the next year building my own rhythm. I took up running, launched a podcast about emotional manipulation, and somehow gained a small but loyal following. People resonated with the pain I had translated into clarity. 6 months ago, she left a comment under one of my posts. "You really turned this into something, huh?" I didn't delete it. I pinned it. Let her watch every episode, every milestone, every comment from people who said, "I helped them leave their own emotional hurricanes." Some of us don't get closure from an apology. We get it from becoming someone they no longer recognize. Story 38. She always wanted to be the power couple, but only if she was the one shining. Anytime something good happened in my life, a promotion, a compliment, she'd downplay it or turn the conversation back to herself. I thought that was normal, until I watched her clap louder for strangers than she ever did for me. When I finally walked away, she told me, "You'll regret losing someone like me." But I didn't. I started volunteering, met people who celebrated the smallest wins, people who didn't compete, but collaborated. Eventually, I co-founded a nonprofit focused on youth development. We got featured on local news. A friend tagged me in the clip. And guess who left a heart emoji on the post? She did. I let it sit there. Because nothing screams "you lost" louder than watching someone thrive in a life you once tried to dim. Story 39. He never took photos with me. Said he didn't like how he looked. But months after we broke up, I saw him on social media. Smiling wide with someone else, vacationing, celebrating. The same man who said he wasn't into labels was calling her his world. I spiraled. I questioned my worth, my looks, everything. But grief gave way to hunger. I started taking photography seriously, shooting self-portraits, building a portfolio. It turned into a business, then into a studio. One day, he booked a shoot. Didn't realize it was my company. When he saw me behind the camera, he looked stunned. Said I seemed different. I smiled and said, "That's what happens when no one's cropping you out anymore." Story 40. She broke up with me by saying, "You're just too kind. I need more edge." Then started dating some guy who lived on a motorcycle and quoted Nietzsche. I felt like I was being punished for being decent, for showing up, for remembering anniversaries and asking about her day. It made me bitter for a while, but I channeled that bitterness into something productive. I started writing songs, first just for me, then for others. Years later, one of those songs went viral. People called it the anthem for the soft-hearted, and suddenly, kindness was cool again. She texted me after that, "I always believed in you. I knew your heart would shine someday." I didn't reply. I just kept playing the song louder for every person who was told they were too much or too little. Because the right people don't ask you to shrink, they make room. Story 41. He loved being the smartest guy in the room. Anytime I had an opinion, he'd smirk and say, "You just don't get how the world works." When I got accepted into a journalism program, he scoffed, "You think writing is a real career? Grow up." But I didn't drop out. I went anyway. worked part-time, lived off ramen, cried more nights than I care to admit. But I also published my first article, then another, then a feature. 3 years in, I landed a job at a national outlet. My byline started showing up on real newsstands. Last month, he emailed me. Saw your piece on that whistleblower. Impressive. You always were passionate. I replied, turns out the world works just fine when you stop listening to people who are scared of your light. Story 42. She once told me, you're not the kind of guy women fantasize about, and you're the guy they settle for. I laughed like it was a joke. It wasn't. I stayed for too long, hoping she'd love me the way I loved her. But she never did. She ended things when I told her I wanted to get serious. Said she wanted to see what else was out there. So I let her go. And let myself go too. Into the gym, into learning guitar, into new friendships and places I'd always wanted to see. I changed not for revenge, but because I deserved a life I felt good in. 2 years later, she messaged me after seeing a photo of me playing at a local event. You look different. I said, you were right. I'm not the kind of guy people settle for. I'm the one they grow with. Story 43. We were childhood friends turned partners. Everyone thought we were endgame, but she was always chasing something. A thrill. A bigger city. A better job. I was steady. Predictable. She used to say I was her anchor, until one day she said, I feel stuck. I want to see the world without you holding me back. She left. Moved to Europe. Didn't even say goodbye in person. I was shattered. But I used the stillness she left behind to write again. I'd stopped years ago. Poetry, short stories, travel essays. I poured my heart out. A friend convinced me to self-publish. It caught on. Then, a publisher reached out. A year later, my first book was on shelves. A collection titled Anchor. She emailed. I read it. I was wrong. I replied, thank you. You gave me the story. I just gave it an ending. Story 44. He once told me, you're the kind of girl men marry when they're ready. Not when they're still having fun. I was 25. He was 30 and still living like a frat boy. I stuck around, thinking he'd change. He didn't. So I left. I went back to school, got certified as a life coach, and started helping women navigate the exact same mind games I had lived through. My small Instagram page turned into a six-figure coaching business. I helped hundreds of women walk away from men like him. One day, he followed me from a burner account, sent a message. Guess I was the fool, huh? I didn't answer. I screenshotted it. Shared it anonymously with a caption. Growth isn't always loud, but regret usually is. Story 45. She told me she couldn't imagine being with someone so ordinary forever. That line gutted me. I wasn't flashy. I didn't have a six-pack or a huge following. But I showed up. I listened. I tried. And apparently, that wasn't enough. After she left, I felt like I'd never be someone worth choosing. But life has a funny way of proving us wrong. I took a solo trip I'd been putting off. Disconnected from social media. I ended up in a quiet coastal town, where I started working at a surf shop. I didn't become a millionaire, but I became happy. I met people who lived with heart, who laughed deeply, who didn't measure worth in likes. 3 years later, she stumbled across my profile. I had posted a photo of my fiancé and me on the beach, holding our adopted pup. Her message, "You were never ordinary. I just wasn't ready." My reply, "You were right the first time. I am ordinary." But ordinary doesn't mean forgettable. It means real. And real lasts. Pragramacha Jupiti Skazala. Story 46. He broke up with me over breakfast. Didn't even look up from his phone. Just said, I think we're on different paths. You're more of a comfort zone than a partner. I stared at my half-eaten eggs and wondered how someone could discard 5 years like that. I cried for weeks. Then months. But in the silence he left behind, I found something surprising. Myself. I went back to school. Finished my psychology degree and started working with trauma survivors. Helping others helped me heal. 2 years later, I was invited to speak at a conference. Guess who was in the audience? He came up afterward and said, "You look solid, happy." I nodded and said, "Yeah. Turns out comfort zones can also be foundations, if you don't mistake them for limitations." Then I walked away, because I didn't need closure. I'd already built a new chapter. Story 47. She cheated. Repeatedly. Every time I confronted her, she'd cry, twist it, say I was controlling, that she couldn't breathe. The gaslighting was intense. I began to question my sanity. But the night I found her in our apartment with another guy, that was the moment clarity hit. She begged me to stay, said I was the only one who truly knew her. I walked out with just my wallet and keys. moved into my brother's garage and started over. I picked up welding, then started doing metal sculpture art. It felt good to build something no one could destroy. Years later, one of my pieces got featured at an urban gallery. I posted a photo online. She commented, "Wow, I always believed in your creativity." I replied, "You only believe in what you can't ruin." Then I blocked her. Not out of bitterness, but to protect the piece I forged from all her wreckage. Story 48. He made fun of my stutter, even in front of friends. Said it was cute at first, then called it embarrassing during arguments. He mocked the way I hesitated, the seconds I took to find words. One night, after he did it at a dinner party, I left. Didn't pack, just left. I joined a speech support group. Slowly, I started to speak without shame. Then I began performing spoken word. Raw, honest pieces about imperfection and healing. Audiences resonated. I got invited to a national poetry slam. After one of my performances went viral, he messaged, "Proud of you. I always loved your voice." I didn't respond. But I wrote a new piece that night. The echo that mocked me can't claim the sound I built. Story 49. She said I didn't have the hunger she needed in a partner. That she wanted someone more ambitious. Someone who wanted the world, not just a quiet life. She left to pursue acting in L.A. I stayed in our hometown and took over my father's auto shop after he passed. I spent years building that business. I hired teens with nowhere else to go. Gave them training, structure, something to believe in. One of them nominated me for a community leadership award. I won. She messaged me the next day. Saw your photo in the paper. You've done really well. I smiled and typed, "Turns out, hunger looks different when it feeds others, not egos." Then deleted the message. I didn't owe her anything, not even words. Story 50. We had a long-distance relationship. For years, I drove hours every weekend to see her. Made surprise visits. Wrote letters. Even helped her mom during surgery when she couldn't be there. But when I asked her to move closer so we could build a life, she said, "You're dependable, but not exciting. I need more." She ghosted me after that. No closure. Just gone. I put all that energy into learning landscape design, something I'd always been curious about. I started taking small clients, then bigger ones. Eventually, I got hired to design a healing garden for a trauma recovery center. 6 months ago, I got tagged in a photo of it. The comment under it from her read, "This looks like something you'd create. Beautiful." She was right. It was mine. But I didn't reply. Because I don't plant flowers in places I've already buried some. Story 51. He was the kind of man who made backhanded compliments sound sweet. "You'd be stunning if you lost a little weight. You're smart, just not in a useful way." He convinced me I was lucky to have him. I believed him. Until the day I got promoted. He didn't congratulate me. He sulked. Said, "Don't let it go to your head. They probably picked you for diversity." That night I saw him for what he was, small. I ended things calmly. Packed my things, left the key on the counter, and walked into my own life. Fast forward 3 years. I'd started my own consultancy, hired a team of fierce, brilliant women, and was speaking at leadership panels. Then came his email. "We were good together. I still think about you." I replied with a screenshot of my company's Our Team page and the line. Good wasn't the goal. Great was. Story 52. She told me she couldn't stay because I wasn't evolving fast enough. That I was too emotionally static, like a man stuck in grayscale while she was blooming in color. The irony? I was the one who paid her rent and supported her art shows. After she left, I didn't try to prove anything. I just worked. Quietly, I took therapy seriously, reconnected with old friends, and started learning the saxophone. Something I'd always wanted. The music led me to jazz nights, then to booking gigs. My life grew louder, richer. A mutual friend told me she'd moved back home after a bad breakup, that she was following my music page. She sent me a message. "I'm glad you finally found your rhythm." I just heart-reacted and moved on. Because I wasn't a grayscale man. She just couldn't see past her own filters. Story 53. We were high school sweethearts. She used to say we'd grow old together. But after college, she changed. She started calling me too small town, mocking the diner I worked at. The friends I had. One day she said, "I want someone who's going places, not someone who belongs on pause." I didn't argue. I just let her go. The years after were slow but steady. I saved money, bought the diner when the owner retired, renovated it, rebranded it. We became a local gem. One morning, a woman walked in wearing sunglasses and a defeated smile. It was her. She ordered pancakes, barely looked up. When she left, she scribbled on the receipt, "I see now. I really do. I folded it once, dropped it in the tip jar, and kept pouring coffee. Because I was never on pause. I was just building something she never waited to understand. Story 54. He used to mock my dreams of being a children's author. Said things like, nobody makes money writing for kids, and you're wasting time on fantasies. He wanted me to get a real job and settle down. After he left me for a coworker, I cried for weeks. Then I started writing again, just a few pages a day. Eventually, I finished a manuscript. It got rejected. Then again, and again. But I didn't stop. The fourth one got accepted. The book was picked up by a major publisher, became a bestseller, and won an award for debut fiction. I shared the news online with a photo of me signing books at a convention. His message came 3 hours later. I always said you were talented. I didn't reply. But I read the message aloud to a room of kids during a school reading and said, this is why you never let someone else define your dreams. Story 55. She told me she needed a man with more drive. I was working two jobs to pay off my student loans, saving every penny, and still made time for her. But that wasn't glamorous. She left me for a guy with a condo and a fast car. It hurt, deeply. But I doubled down, paid off my debt, started a side hustle fixing up vintage bikes. That turned into a storefront, then a brand. Within 3 years, I was featured in a cycling magazine. She showed up at one of my events, wearing the same perfume, same smirk. So this is what you've been up to, she said. Pretty impressive. I said, thanks. It took a lot of drive. She laughed awkwardly. I didn't. Because when someone leaves you for not being enough, you don't invite them back when you become more than they ever imagined. Story 56. He said I was too much, too emotional, too talkative, too intense. He said I should be more chill, like his ex. He used to flinch when I cried during movies or got passionate during debates. One day, he looked at me after an argument and said, "You'll never find a man who'll deal with all that." I believed him, until I stopped. I started celebrating the parts of me he told me to shrink. I joined a local improv group, found my voice, and realized that being too much was actually what made me magnetic. A year later, I started hosting storytelling nights. People showed up. People listened. People cried with me. Then came his message. I saw your event on Facebook. You always had a way with words. I didn't reply. But my next event theme was called Too Much a Celebration. It sold out. Story 57. She ended our relationship with a text that said, "You're sweet, but I need someone who makes life feel like a movie." At the time, I was working the night shift as a security guard while studying for my EMT certification. I wasn't flashy. I didn't take her to rooftop dinners. But I showed up. After she left, I finished my program, started working ambulance shifts, and eventually became a paramedic. I saved lives, delivered babies in the back of vans, sat with grieving families. My life wasn't cinematic, but it was real. A few years later, I got featured in a local paper for helping pull a kid from a car wreck. The photo showed me in uniform, covered in mud, holding a teddy bear. She commented, "Wow, you became a hero." I didn't answer, but I smiled. Because while she chased scripts, I wrote my own story. One that didn't need applause to be meaningful. Story 58. He always told me I was lucky to have him. That most guys wouldn't tolerate how independent I was. When I worked late, he accused me of caring more about my job than him. When I got promoted, he sulked. It took me too long to leave. I was scared that maybe he was right. That I was too ambitious to be loved. But after I left, I started mentoring other women in my industry. I co-founded a startup that created leadership programs for young girls. 3 years later, we were invited to speak at a global tech summit. That same week, I got an email. "I still remember how driven you were. I hope you're happy." I forwarded it to trash, then stepped onto a stage in front of 5,000 people and shared my story. No longer afraid of being too much, too loud, too anything. Story 59. She broke up with me the same week I lost my father. Said she couldn't handle my grief and needed lighter energy. I was numb. Couldn't eat. Couldn't breathe. I replayed her words for months, wondering how love could vanish so quickly. Eventually, I started hiking. It gave me somewhere to put my sorrow. Each step was a release. I climbed peaks just to scream into the wind. I started documenting the journey. Photos, captions, reflections. People began following. Then brands. Then publishers. My grief journal became a book. It was called Heavy Then Light. She ordered a copy. I saw her name on the shipping list. I included a handwritten note. "Thank you for letting me fall. The ground taught me how to stand." Story 60. He laughed when I said I wanted to start a home bakery. Said I should focus on real income. not cute hobbies. He told his friends I was playing house while he was making moves, so I let him go. Took $300 from my savings and bought ingredients. I started baking at night, selling on Instagram. Orders trickled in, then poured. Within a year, I opened a small storefront. A local blogger wrote about us, then a food magazine, then a national feature. He messaged me after the article went viral. "Proud of you. I always knew you had it in you." I replied, "No, you didn't. But I did." And I went back to kneading dough. The same way I kneaded my life into something warm, real, and mine.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.